Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hello, place to go. 6:12.
Hi, I'm Steve.
Hello, place to go. Darling, hello, place to go. Hello, place to go.
2, 3, 4. Don't feel bad. We don't know what he's singing either. We just like it because it's snappy. Show number 948. At Cochran Show on Twitter. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. 312-981-7200. Texters and phone calls and podcasts of the coolest stuff on the show and the whole show. Pretty much as soon as they happen. So check those out anytime. We start today with some sad news. We lost a family member in the last couple of days, and kind of a shock to me, because as you grow up, you hear certain numbers in age, and you go, "Wow, that's old." And then you get to a certain age, and you go, "That's not old at all." No. Mike Mathis passed away a couple of nights ago now, and Mike did traffic here forever. He was a cop. Mm-hmm. And he was hired as a cop when this place hired cops to do the traffic. Made sense. And then sort of semi-retired, went back to being a local cop.
ISP, yeah, Illinois State Police.
And we hadn't seen him for a while, and he just went into the Illinois Walk of Fame. You know what really got me last night? We were talking about, aside from the fact that Mike, is there another guy you can think of that the words great guy, everybody goes great guy. Just that should be how you're remembered if you're a dude. Mm-hmm. You should have everybody when you die, everybody should just go, well, great guy, mm-hmm. great guy. Everybody says that about Mike because it was true. But to see his grandkids with him and how much his grandkids loved him and how crazy they were to be up, they wanted to hang out with him, they wanted to be on stage with him. All of that. That's what choked me up last night the most, thinking about him.
When you say great guy, he really was, because he had parties like you would not believe and would invite the whole
I never
whole
went to one of his
staff.
Pool parties. Yeah. And I got invited, but you know me, I don't go up.
Right, right.
You all came back talking about the great party you had, and I don't think any of you paid.
No, I don't think we did.
No, we didn't pay.
I don't think we did.
But you know, my kids were young at the time. Mm-hmm. John Williams had young kids.
Probably didn't have access to a pool, right?
Yeah.
So you used
my kids came too, right?
Yeah, right, Mary. And it was just a great time. And it was a great way for the families to get together. And Mike was kind of the conduit for that.
Yeah, we never saw each other's kids.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just so cool to see the kids. And my kids were like, I don't want to go to a party. You know, they were like that. And then they got there. They go, oh, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
He was just such a good guy, though. I mean, he had the parties. He'd walk
great
around.
Guy.
You know, always making sure you were okay. Oh, you got enough to eat? You got enough to drink?
He was a good cook, too. Great cook and great baker. He always made cookies at Christmas.
I do remember the cookies.
Because
that's the difference. If you invite me to have your cookies, I'll partake in that.
Yeah.
But he did this traffic for me for a long time when I was doing the midday show. And when he left, I remember it was like Friday's here, Monday's not. Because he's really, I don't know if you guys remember that. He was really quiet about when he left.
Totally low-key. Remember, we were trying to plan a retirement party, and he said, no, 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 I don't want a big deal. So Judy Pilot got a cake, and then we just had a little, like, going-away party just us in the newsroom, because he was super low-key. He didn't want a big fanfare or a big fuss.
Right. So we're thinking about his family today, obviously, and thinking about Mikey. What was 67?
Yeah.
67,
way too 68? Young. 68,
I believe. 68, ridiculous.
Way too young. And I mean, we just saw him. Oh, just heartbreaking.
And I guess he's been dealing with some heart issues. I didn't even know that. Did you guys?
Oh,
yeah. He had had a couple of heart surgeries.
He had bypasses. I mean, when he was here, you know, remember he almost had a heart attack on one of the helicopters one day.
I didn't know any of that.
Oh, it was not good. He called me up on, you know, on the 2-way, and he's like, I'm having chest pain. I'm coming down now. I said, yes, that would be a good idea, Mike, please. And he took himself to the hospital.
And
needed surgery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, it's what does it all come down to? The cliches are all true, right? You know, we'll live every day to the fullest and hug your family and
That's
stuff.
That's right.
Oh, four grandkids. Oh.
Yeah, and they just loved him. Just crazy about
mm-hmm.
him.
And you know what's cool, too? I mean, not that anything's cool out of that, but just when you remember him and what a fun guy he was. Now I'm hearing, and probably you guys too, from different producers and people from years and years and years ago saying, oh my gosh, please let me know about arrangements. Because this guy, you know, Math has touched people for years and from way far back too.
Well, and you know, you're a cop, so you've got a constituency from being a cop.
Right.
And then you're on this station. And he had fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes down to the same thing. He's a great guy. What do you want to play, Jake? Do you have Duffy's piece, or do you have the interview clip?
I actually have an interview clip for when we had him on prior to the Walk of Fame.
Okay.
So this was one hour show back in May 9th or 10th, I believe it was.
All right, just a couple of months ago. Listen to this.
The world looks so much different. The traffic, period. The streets don't look like the streets that you call them when you're 500 feet off the ground.
Right.
Boy.
You know, the Kennedy just doesn't look like the Kennedy. It just looks like the Eisenhower that's sitting virtually right next to it, you know, the rest of them.
Did you ever have a particularly rough ride that you remember?
We've had a few. We landed in some snowy conditions when all of a sudden we were up at O'Hare, just south of O'Hare, where the 290 turns and goes north on around Route 53.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, you couldn't see in either direction. So the pilot obviously had to land immediately. So we just, you know, you're almost kind of closing your eyes, remembering, if you can, what this ground looked like, the terrain looked like under you. Because that's all, you're only going as far as between your knees.
You
look down and that's where you're going. And fortunately, everything worked out pretty well for us all the time.
And he always scared me half to death because he would call and he'd be like, yeah, we seem to be having some, Mary, Chopper 1, may have blizzard conditions. Yeah, we're going to land at about 5. And he'd say so calmly, and I'd be like, Mike, get down.
No, there was nothing to worry about then.
The good news is if you need to maintain, you know, a calm, cool composure, definitely talk to Mary Vandeveld right before you crash.
Oh, dear God.
Absolutely.
It's hard to even hear his voice, but that's our friend Mike Mathis. Great guy. That's it. Two words. Great guy. And
funny guy, too. Very funny.
For listeners who want to drop a note that we could pass on to his family, I suppose the best thing to do would be to either send it here if you want to write a note, or you could, I don't know, what's the best way to do it? Do you want to just email us?
I would just email, yeah. Or send a card to the station. We can get it to his wife, Mary. Thoughts going out to her, too. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman.
What email should we give out? This is where I turn to the producers to tell me what to do.
There's a contact on WGNRadio.com for general comments and things like that, and it all gets circulated back to us.
All right, so just click on that. Go to WGNRadio.com for listener comments and just throw any note in there that you'd like to pass on to the family. Coming up on 620, we've got to do the top six at 6. We'll do it next.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Oh, by the way, I haven't even told you what's on the show later after the top 6 at 6. Jordan Goodman in the 7 o'clock hours. OJ getting out of prison. Karen Conti will answer that question coming up here in just a few minutes. And one of the newest Hawks, Alex DeBrinket, after 7:30 today, amongst the other things coming up on the program. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men bring you the following. The Do Your Job Inc. group is going back on TV for 3 days and heavy rotation to try to urge Governor Rauner to support a Democratic plan to pay for the state's public schools. Do Your Job, Inc. is led by State Senator Michael Hastings. He's a Democrat from Tenley Park, Lou Lang from Skokie, and Illinois AFL-CIO President Michael T. Kerrigan. I would ask the Do Your Job, Inc. folks to also throw in a few extra commercials to ask the speaker, who they all support, to do his job and not get in the way. Maybe toss that in. It's just a thought.
That's going to be another big showdown.
Over school funding?
Yes. Yes.
More than 110 Cook County Sheriff's Office recruits and trainees have been laid off after the proposed countywide tax on soda has been put on hold. This is the Sheriff's Office layoffs, in addition to the more than 300 county job cuts, are to make up for the loss of anticipated revenue for the soda tax. I don't want to be cynical here, but it's hard not to be when you're talking about politics. Is there any chance that they, being the leaders of Cook County, never believed this tax would be able to go through, and this was just a backdoor way to get a 10% cut across the board and staff?
Now, Steve, really? Are you being cynical?
Cynical?
Just a little bit.
I'm asking.
That's a fair question and a great question, and that's been raised by several, especially the three commissioners who voted against the soda tax as well, one being our friend Bridget Gaynor. It's a very, very, very fair point.
All right. Well, we'll continue to sniff around it.
And now people saying, too, well, if the tax is instituted, will they get their jobs back? You know, will they be offered the
right.
positions back?
Well, that's the ultimate test.
Probably not. That will be the ultimate test.
Because if you get the tax back, if you get the tax, then you have the revenue.
Right.
Next. In an really inexplicable moment of on-mic honesty about how clueless he is about the job that he's not doing, President Trump said two things that stood out. One was, let Obamacare fail. Let it fail. Now, he said it in the past, but he's never said it this directly. Let it fail. Just let it fail. We know statistically, we know in fact, the people that would be hurt the most if you just pulled the plug on Obamacare on all levels, you can't do it legally, but if you did, would be the people that voted for Donald Trump.
Right. Right.
Every bipartisan statistical breakdown of this comes out the same way. Those are the people that would be hurt the most. So if you're Donald Trump and you got a bunch of money, you can afford your own insurance to cover whatever damage you're doing to your heart from the KFC and the Taco Bell you're eating. But if you're a regular person who is living on the current health care plan of the law of the land, which is Obamacare, you cannot let it fail. The other thing he said, which was remarkable, was, I'm not going to own this.
Yeah.
So apparently the buck doesn't stop there. The buck just stops somewhere on the way to there, being Donald Trump's desk. And there's even a third thing that came up yesterday in a different chunk of conversation, but he tried to explain how the voting works.
Oh, gee, I know. I saw
and
that.
This kind of blew my mind. This is fuzzy math on steroids.
We got to get that clip, because what he says is that we had 48 yeses and we had four noes. So really what you had was a 48-4.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
Not
no,
how
not
any
at all.
Of this works.
That's not how any of it works. The 52 people you're talking about are the Republicans, if you had them all, including the vice president. The 48 would be the others, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Let me check the math, but yes.
Yeah, so the 48 would be the Democrats, and then he followed that up by saying we need to elect more Republicans. No. You have the control of the House and the Senate now. I mean, sure, I'm sure you'd want more Republicans, but you don't need to elect more Republicans. It's not going to fix your problem.
No. Mm-mm.
But again, Mr. President, if you have no concept of how... Oh, God, we got to get him Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh,
Schoolhouse
totally.
Rock would help him so much.
And we discussed this yesterday, too, with Elise. You can't repeal now and replace later.
No.
Because that's going to send everybody into a topspin.
Yeah, well,
providers, insurance agencies, hospitals.
You don't know how bad it could get.
Right, because then you can start
all
saying...
All the dominoes fall.
Then you could start saying, oh, well, this isn't a pre-existing condition because it was repealed. Instead of it being already in place, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to own this.
You know, and there's some...
The Republicans aren't going to own this. The 48-4 Republicans aren't going to own this.
And there's some experts who say this is the reason why he hasn't been using the bully pulpit of the White House more to be out talking about
this. Because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, he has been using the bully part a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But not the pulpit. And then there's this. Another inexplicable moment from yesterday. And where is congressional leadership on this? And I mean both sides. Where are both sides just outraged about the fact that the president of the United States had a private meeting with Vladimir Putin that was not disclosed, and in that private meeting for 55 minutes used a Russian Kremlin translator because we didn't have a translator for him to use because nobody thought he was having a meeting.
Right.
the translator of Putin's could have said anything. They could have worked up anything. They could have had a whole act worked out.
Sure.
Oh, now here's what Vladimir said now.
Right.
It's just outrageous, just absolutely outrageous. It's unacceptable on every level, and there is no record of the meeting or what was said. So let me just say something to the president that I think he'd understand. If you cheat on your wife and get caught, and then you talk to a lot of hot women down the road, your wife might be suspicious. If you, in fact, are Donald Trump and anyone in the Trump family, and you regularly have suspicion about the Russian connection, the idea that you would have a private meeting that couldn't be traced with the leader of Russia, yeah, we're going to be a little suspicious. 65% of the country thinks you're bad at the job and that you're criminally inept and that you are in bed with Russia. Mm-hmm. That should matter to you, but sadly it doesn't. Let's go live now to Sox Park here. For those of us who could never remember to call it Greater Rate Field or
Guaranteed Rate
Field. Rates that are close to good field. What are White Sox moves are being made now before the trade deadline?
Well, they, of course, made the trade with Jose Quintana going to the Cubs.
Right, but there's
Thursday,
more.
And now last night,
yes,
Todd Frazier was pulled out of the game. He was scratched before the game.
Bad attitude?
Dodgers, no.
Oh.
He was seen
mouthy.
No, oh. No, not at all. He was seen hugging teammates in the lock in the dugout.
Just an affectionate guy.
He's just that kind of guy, touchy feely.
Right.
No, that was a good indication that a deal was brewing, and the deal was completed with the New York Yankees, and the White Sox sent three players to New York, and they get four players in return, including three prospects. They traded Todd Frazier, third baseman. They traded pitchers David Robertson and Tommy Canley, both of whom have spent time in the Yankee organization before.
Remember Robertson was going to be a huge savior when he came here?
He was. And just
didn't quite work out that way.
It didn't quite work out. So he goes back to New York and gives them a very solid bullpen now, led by Aroldis Chapman. And the White Sox get three prospects plus one veteran pitcher who could still be moved in return. And the key guy there is a guy named Blake Rutherford, who was the Yankees' first-round pick a year ago, an outfielder. So, okay. Again, they're stockpiling these young players. They now have eight of the top 100 prospects in all of baseball. I think it's five of the top 50. But one of those is going to play for the White Sox tonight, and that's Yoan Moncada, the second baseman who was acquired in the deal with Boston for Chris Sale. So
we don't know how big a deal any of this is because it's really prospects to see. I know they also threw in the head from the Babe Ruth statue in Monument Park. So that was nice.
I don't think they actually threw that in.
Oh, okay.
But reporting live from Guaranteed Rate Field on the South Side.
Yes.
Dave Edit, WGN Sports.
And lastly, happy birthday to Todd Manley. He's the boss. He runs this place. And today he turns 55. And, of course, the most annoying thing about that is he looks about 30.
He does.
He's 55. I was going to say, what? Looks... He's 55?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No one's more angry with him than I am.
By the way, he and I won the wheelbarrow race last week. We were shooting our video of
the
Red Line Athletics.
The what? You're just hanging out in your
wheelbarrow race.
Down the hall?
No.
Steve, won the wheelbarrow race when you and I did it last week.
You and Todd had a wheelbarrow race?
Okay. We did.
Was somebody sitting in
it? Racing Mary Boyle was also a contestant.
Don't drag her into your web.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. She was in the wheelbarrow.
Stephanie, they were all
this
there.
This is the thing where you hold up the legs of the person and they go in front of you? That deal? That didn't seem odd to you at any point?
Thank God we didn't have to partake in that.
The video will be posted at WGNradio.com.
What did you do at work that made you get involved in this? Because obviously
we were
you were in
Red
trouble.
Line Athletics. We were doing a video.
Was this a meeting?
Kevin was there. Kevin Powell.
That's what you say.
Mary Sandberg.
We'll come back with a big story in just a second. And more on management that Dave has touched.
Weird.
Inappropriately. Did Todd file an HR complaint against
him? No, because we won.
Oh, so this was not against Todd's will. He was actually complicit in this.
Yeah, he was a willing contestant.
I thought maybe you threw him to the ground, grabbed his legs, and said, let's do the wheelbarrow race.
No, not this time.
It's a big story next on 720 WGN.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
647, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. You want to go with the original plan then, Jake? Jake and I were just having a show meeting. We ran out of time because you finished a forecast.
Yeah. Sorry.
You want to go to the original plan?
Should I go to next week?
Is that better?
Let's go to the original plan.
All right, go to the original plan.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Steve, we're doing the original plan right now.
Got it. But let's not talk about this on the air. Karen Conti joins us. And she's a lawyer, and you're not. Neither am I. So we ask her lawyer stuff. Where do you lawyer?
I lawyer everywhere, but I lawyer specifically on Monroe and Dearborn, 55 West Monroe in Chicago.
What is the name of that law firm?
It's Conti Law, 312-332-7800.
All right, so I got to jump right to the OJ thing. Is he getting out of jail tomorrow?
I think he is. With the stats going the way they are in Nevada, he's got an 82% chance. That's how I calculated it. Yep, he has, he was a model prisoner. He's not gang affiliated. He's older. He's got some medical issues. All of those things factor in. And remember, he was paroled on a bunch of counts in 2013. So these are the same people who are going to consider these subsequent counts. And so I don't see that there's any way that he's not getting out.
And he's going to need a place to stay. And I would just send out an alert to all women. Don't marry him. Don't take him in.
He's a bad boy. That's for sure.
It is kind of weird where he'll go. No, but you know, here's the thing. And I remember when I interviewed him after the civil trial, I remember specifically him talking about how people were nice to him everywhere he went. And you know what it is? It's that celebrity culture thing. Even as much of a pariah as he is 25 years down the road, 23 years down the road, he will find very little public rudeness to him. People generally aren't rude to your face. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll tear him up online because people are cowards. But I think he'll find a lot of people who go, hey, OJ, juice. And there's a lot of people, by the way, who still think he was set up.
Well, look at all the people who line the streets. Remember that, you guys? When he
yeah,
was
but I'm saying
convicted.
Even with the passage of time now with what we believe we know now.
And I think in this culture, frankly, he's got celebrity, and celebrity trumps almost anything else in the world. You know, whether it's good or bad, people want to meet you if you have some sense of celebrity. And, you know, listen, coming out of prison is not the easiest thing. I've known a lot of people, my clients, coming out of prison. It's not an easy thing because, you know, your friends haven't visited you. I mean, he was in the middle of nowhere, you know, 90 miles from Reno. But his advantages are going to be that he, again, you know, has money. And his retirement is basically protected.
How can he have money? I mean, even the so his retirement can't be touched.
Right. There's certain retirements. If it's a federal retirement, certain of those cannot be touched for any reason, including the civil judgment. And in Florida, their homestead laws are the strongest in the country. So any home that he owns there is going to be protected as well. So he's going to be just fine. I mean, monetarily, he's going to be better off than most.
Okay. So are there any right? You're worried about that, right? Yeah. Are there any restrictions as to what he can do as far as entertainment? You know, like having a reality show.
Well, he can't kill
show.
People anymore.
Well, aside from that,
I mean, they got to put some restrictions on that.
You mean, or for the first time since he wasn't technically convicted?
The parole commissioners can put all kinds of limits on him. He can't do drugs, can't drink alcohol, can't go to bars, can't associate with felons. You know, he can't have guns. He's going to have to get an okay if he wants to move.
Because you know this is going to be a reality show.
I'm sure there's people lining up to offer him that. Yeah.
Yeah, but again.
But would that be profiting off his crime, even though if he wasn't convicted?
Yeah, and you know, there's nothing wrong with profiting off your crime unless it's prohibited somewhere. So, you know, people think that that's somehow a crime. No, he can. First Amendment says he can profit, but I think that the Goldmans are going to take whatever profit there is. And listen, is there really going to be some sort of production company who's going to pay a criminal?
Yep.
You know, to do a reality show?
Yep.
I guess the answer is yes, but I wonder who that's going to be.
Probably nobody big, maybe CBS, NBC, ABC, or Fox, because they need the numbers. More of Karen Conti in a second. We have other things to discuss other than OJ, but I'm with you. I think he gets out tomorrow. I wrote the words. Karen Conti, attorney at law, and let's continue here with a story that you may or may not be familiar with, and that's a vape trademark infringement lawsuit. What's the background on this?
Well, it looks like there's some names that they're using that are very similar to Wrigley's names, like Double Mint and Juicy Fruit, spelled differently. And Wrigley is suing. And, you know, I think they're going to win on this one. I mean, if you have a trademark, that presumes that you have the right to use that name exclusively. And if there are goods that are related or they're marketed in a way that is going to cause confusion to consumers, you probably will win your lawsuit and you probably will win money. You'll probably win an injunction, meaning you can stop them from actually selling the stuff and you can actually have them have to destroy all of the product. But in this case, I think Wrigley has to really file this lawsuit to protect its name because it doesn't want to be associated with cigarettes in any way, I'm sure. And the big companies do this all the time so their trademark is not diluted in some way.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much of this is to take on the little company, because it always seems like the big guy gets the little guy, versus protecting yourself against future violations? Because if you don't protect this, then you probably have no right to protect it down the road, right?
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, Michael Jordan did that in the lawsuit with Dominick's. I mean, he, you know, I'm sure that was not his goal, is to make money. That's the last thing he needs. But he just doesn't want to dilute his name, which is of great value. And again, you're right. If you don't start taking on these little guys, then when it comes to some big issue, you haven't lost the argument because you haven't protected that name right from the beginning.
Karen, we did a story a couple of days ago, got big shakeup in Governor Rauner's administration. One of his employees, his body man, the guy who goes out and collects, you know, business cards and does meet and greet.
Carries the mints.
Yeah, carries the mints, exactly, or the hairbrush, depending on who the governor is. But was fired for comments that he made, I guess, homophobic and racial comments that he made on Twitter several years earlier. So a billion questions about how he was vetted, how he got the job in the first place. But can you be fired for what you say on social media?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't have anyone out there in your listening audience think otherwise. You know, an employer can look up all of your stuff on Facebook. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. I see people all the time. There was a lawyer who I used to refer a lot of business to. I referred a case, a very important case, and the client said, I saw him on Facebook saying all kinds of nasty political things. And his stuff wasn't just political. It was nasty, personal stuff. And I can't refer business to this lawyer anymore because of what's on his Facebook page.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. A toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
Hi, it's my pal Jordan Goodman from MoneyAnswers.com. You joined us now. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
I saw a whole stack of emails from WGN listeners. If you ever doubt that Jordan gets back to you, I'm here to vouch for him. Of course he does.
I do. I love it.
And a lot of questions that always come up about student loan debt. Is that the biggest threat for the next bubble, or is there another threat on the horizon?
Well, that's one threat. I mean, let's just handle that one first. We had the graduations recently. We added about $100 billion to the existing $1.3 trillion of student loan debt. And just people are, I think the latest numbers I heard, 51% of the people who just graduated are moving back home again.
It's awful.
Back in the mother's basements. So much for the empty nest. It's actually what I call the boomerang generation because they keep coming back.
I love having my kids around. But the fact is 2007, 2008 destroyed 10 years of the future for kids.
Right.
And this student loan, handing out student loans for everybody, including kids that didn't even necessarily want to go to college.
Or have any direction of what they wanted to do with it.
Right. It has created a monstrous problem.
And in fact, the latest numbers I saw, 50% of the people entering college either graduate in 5 years or never graduate at all. So they've got the student loan debt without the degree, and they don't know what they're doing. So two things they can do. They can consolidate, if they've got a whole bunch of loans, federal loans at different rates, consolidate into one and at least have the lowest interest rate in one payment instead of many. ConsolidateCollege.com is a website for that. And then a lot of people don't realize you can refinance your student loans, take your private loans, your federal loans, combine them all into one in the 2 to 3% range. Website for that would be credible.com, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E, credible.com. You can do /money answers. I know it's me. That way you get $200 off your first payment.
Nice.
They've also got a phone number, 855-870-6005. And, yes, I get a lot of emails from WGN listeners with exactly that problem. Just mountains of student loan debt, and it just looks like they're never going to get out from under it.
Now, the other big threat of the next great bubble isn't houses or credit cards, or is it something else?
I'm going to come out of left field, car loans.
Car loans?
Car loans, yeah.
Yeah, remember you said pay off your car loan, Jordan? If you don't have a lot left, just pay it off.
Well, because it's a depreciating asset, right? I like to say buy things that appreciate, like stocks, and lease things that depreciate if your mileage is low, because you drive it out of the dealer's showroom and you just lost $5,000 in 1 second because it goes down real fast. So in the last few years, a lot of people have been taking on bigger car loans they could really afford, and so the delinquency rate has doubled in the last year alone.
So what do people do? They just walk away from the car and they call the repo guy, or what do they do?
Well, they don't have to call them. They'll come to you. Actually.
Oh, they will? You don't have to deliver?
They deliver. The new thing now is they have a device that they'll put in your car that the moment you do not make your payment, they disable your car.
And you can be driving down the highway?
Yeah. And you are dead.
And they'll just shut it off.
They shut it off the moment you do not pick your payment. So that has given the lenders the confidence, I guess is the right word, to make loans they wouldn't have in the past, because they don't have to have the repo men chasing them around. They know exactly where your car is to pick it up because of GPS.
Speaking of bubbles and things of that nature, what are the markets like now, and is the Trump surge continuing?
Well, the whole healthcare situation, I think, is really worrying people. I mean, the collapse of the healthcare situation not only is affecting healthcare, but it's affecting the ability to get any of his agenda through. I mean, the whole way things were set up was you do healthcare first, then you have the budget, then you do tax reform, then you do infrastructure. Okay, well, healthcare didn't happen, and the whole lineup has not happened. The budget is now 3 months late. They're putting that through. It's supposed to be done in April. It's now July.
And so people understand part of this the horse trading term gets thrown around, but part of this is, if Andrea, if I say to you, mm-hmm. I need your vote on this, but then I'm going to help you on the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of pay it forward situation you have to have for people that don't understand why one trips the lever on the next one. Right.
Exactly. And so this lever just got, I mean, they're not going ahead in healthcare. And when President Trump yesterday said, well, let Obamacare fail, that is a political suicide note, actually, because you don't want people, I mean, it's already happening. Premiums are going up dramatically. Lots of places around the country have zero insurance.
Yeah, next door in Iowa, it's massive in Iowa that you just can't get insurance.
Ohio, lots of places. And that's going to continue. But, I mean, the solution, the short-term solution, is to kind of beef up Obamacare a little bit and put more money into it so you don't have insurance companies abandoning places. Insurance companies are there to make money, not to lose money. And if they're in counties where they're losing money, they're not going to be there anymore. So
That's
the short-term solution. Letting it fail is not a solution either for people's health or politically. So
You might not like insurance companies, but they have bills to pay as well, and they have stockholders to answer to, and they're another business, and they're a business that doesn't exist just to provide insurance.
I mean, if you were running an insurance company, Steve, I think actually you'd be a wonderful insurance executive. You'd give a completely new perspective to
it. I would. Weekends and weekdays off.
But if you had that and you're losing hundreds of millions of dollars because you're insuring people
who have
huge claims and they're paying low premiums, the only way you're making it is with the subsidies from the government. Would you keep doing that? Probably not.
I don't think so. And I think this is, a window into why the Trump presidency is so filled with potholes, is he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed from the guy that he was. He hasn't adapted to the changes that he needed to make for this job. In real estate, you can walk away from a bad deal and say, let it fail, they'll come back our way.
That's right.
You can't
hear. That's different
than
the healthcare of the entire country. Not only the providing of it, but the business part of it. I mean, it's about 20% of the economy.
How about that?
Jordan, can all the uncertainty, though, with regard to the healthcare bill drive the premiums up when we all go to start looking at our insurance for next year, or keep us actually from buying into a higher plan?
Well, and then they lose money that way. Well, that's happening right now. Because right now the insurance companies are filing what their 2018 premiums are going to be. And they've been putting in, around the country, anywhere between 20 and 100% increases over the existing higher premiums, because they are so uncertain about what kind of subsidies they're going to get from the government, which is the only way they're willing to make these Obamacare exchange policies in the first place, because they don't, they're not profitable themselves, only because they get kind of premium support is what they call it. And they don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, here's what Trump could do to make it fail faster. He could pull away some or all the subsidies. He could not enforce the penalty. If you don't have insurance, you have to pay, you know, the IRS. I think it was 18 million people paid that penalty last year. So there's lots of things he could do to undermine and make it fail even faster. But I don't think that's a political winner, frankly.
We'll come back more during Goodman in a second. Look, go to moneyanswers.com, get answers to all of this stuff, get resources, get references, get all the books that Jordan has written, get his home address, get his Social Security number. It's all there. Moneyanswers.com. Mary Vandeville, traffic, please.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need. Dollar, dollar, that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with
726,
me?
Jordan Goodman's with us. MoneyAnswers.com is where you find Jordan. I don't know that we're going to have time for staff questions, so the staff may have to go broke today because we still have many things to cover with Jordan. One of the things that people always bring up to me, Jordan, when you're on, is investments. You know, well, yeah. I've saved a little money, but I can't put it in my bank on the corner. They're good people, but they've got 0.1% they're handing me after I leave my money there. So what do we do?
So there are ways of getting much higher yields than that. And you're right. The banks are going to continue to pay pretty much zero for as far as the eye can see because they can get away with it. And if people are just going to be like a lump and keep their money there, then the banks are happy to take your money and then charge you for the same money on mortgages and credit cards and everything else. I've mentioned before, it's been very popular with your listeners. I like these commercial mortgage bridge loans because you get 6% for 1 year. If you're willing to go out 3 years, you can get 9%, 8% or so for 2 years. Very, very safe. 100% of what you invest goes into these things, and there's no commissions or anything like that. And what they're doing is first lien positions on a specific piece of commercial property. They use it for 1 year to renovate or improve the property somehow. They pay the interest, pay it back, get your money back at the end of the year, and you can do it again. There's a website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. And a lot of your listeners have done that because they'd rather get six than zero in this kind of environment.
And it's not market-driven, right?
Correct. It has nothing to do with the stock market, the bond market. And the maximum that they lend against the value of the property is 65%, so-called loan-to-value 65% max. So there's a big, what I call the equity cushion there to protect you if the value of it goes down. But it's not going to go down that much in a year. And in general, the commercial real estate market's quite strong these days. Just the reason they're willing to do this, the borrowers, is they don't get, it's very, very hard for them to get loans from the banks, either at all or in a timely way. And so they do this. They may pay a little bit of higher interest, but they get their deal done that way.
I'm not quite sure I understand this question. It's from a texter. Jordan, is there an IRA I ought to move my 401k to in order to invest in the real estate loan company?
Yeah, yes. Okay, well, I mean, what we're talking about was the commercial mortgage bridge loans,
right,
is what's called a self-directed IRA.
Oh, that's, I got correct. It. Okay. So, but you're not locked out of that for tax purposes because you're on a 401k.
No, you do a rollover. You would do a rollover from your 401k into a self-directed IRA, either a regular one or a Roth IRA, Roth being better because it's tax-free. And then once it's rolled in there, the money continues to grow tax-deferred for regular, tax-free for Roth until you take it out in retirement starting at 70 and a half. So, yes, you can absolutely, you know, do that rollover. And at that,
or you can just invest cash.
Yeah, you just don't want to take it out. If you take it out of your 401k, that's a taxable event.
Right, but I don't want to confuse people if they think this is specifically an IRA 401k transactional situation. You can invest your cash in this as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just want to make sure people understand it.
Either way, yeah.
Any staff questions at all before we run out of time? We had limited time with Jordan today. Andrea.
I'll do a quickie. Jordan, what do you think of these Capital One, these Ing accounts, these 360 savings accounts that where you can put some money in and get, say, maybe 0.75 to 1.1% interest?
Well, it's better than zero, but it's not much. I mean, you know, 1%. I mean, inflation's still higher than that, and so I want people to earn more than 1%, Andrea. I just think it's ridiculous what their banks are paying these days, you know. So it's okay. It's liquid. I mean, the commercial mortgage bridge loans I mentioned are not liquid for a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on how long you tie it up. If you need the money to be liquid, then something like that it's fine. It's better to earn 0.75 than zero, but it's not a lot.
Would you be in the stock market today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The worry right now is if the complete agenda in Washington does not happen, the markets have a huge move on expectations. And it was interesting yesterday when healthcare fell apart, the stock market fell and interest rates fell, long-term interest rates fell, because the feeling is if they're not going to get tax reform, tax cuts, that's not going to stimulate the economy, and therefore we get lower economic growth, which is why interest rates fell. So that may be the way the stock market's taking it right now. But lots of earnings are really, really good. The company I mentioned, and I got a lot of emails from this, Steve, the hottest stock out there has continued to do well, is NVIDIA.
Yeah,
that's a company that does these the chips that go into video games, driverless cars, Internet of Things, everything. I think when we spoke last month, it was about 140. I looked at it yesterday, it's 165. And when I first told you about a year ago, it was about 40.
Yep.
So that's done well.
Yeah, and I made some money off it thanks to you as well.
Good.
It's Jordan Goodman, and we didn't even begin to touch on all the other aspects of your financial life, but we're a little short on time with Jordan today. We will have him back, obviously, since he seems to be everyone's favorite guest. Blah, blah, blah. When's Jordan going to be on again?
But I love to have, I get all kinds of interesting stories from your listeners and love to help every one of them.
And they're all going
to
be in the book.
I love to do it.
Yeah. No, it's appreciated very much, not just by me, but by them. And again, it is Jordan Goodman, reachable through moneyanswers.com. John, did you have a problem that you wanted to address before we run out of time?
Yeah, Jordan, I invested $20 in $20 of cash. Is that a good call?
Well, yeah, that's great. That's going to really do well. As long as it's not in Venezuelan bolivars, then you're okay. You know?
No, it's just American. It's just American.
Yeah.
I thought you meant by cash, because they have 7,000% inflation down there, so I don't think your cash would be doing too much.
He's trying to corner the market on coin wrappers right now. He just wants to wrap change.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Your interest will not be very high on that, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, he's interested in doing it. That's the main thing. Moneyanswers.com, again, is the website. Check it out regularly, not just when Jordan's on the radio. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
We'll come back with your big story. And Alex DeBrinkett from your Chicago Blackhawks. Meet Alex coming up, one of the great young names in the game. Before we get to that, let's do this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
For Alex DeBrinkett, he's getting one-on-four. Gets around one man to Taylor Radish. DeBrinkett, he scores! What a move by DeBrinkett. Set up by Taylor Radish, and the Otters are on the board.
As DeBrinkett back out the center, gets off McShane, turning back. DeBrinkett, PC scores!
Gator wants his gat back. Alex DeBrinkett finds the rebound, ties this one up at three.
Got a 19-year-old you love? You can hear him snoring through his door, spending the summer sleeping away. Alex DeBrinkett's 19. He's hitting the gym. He turned 20 yet? Is he still 19?
No, he's 19, I believe.
I think he's still 19. Yeah. One of the great future names in your Chicago Blackhawks, and maybe not too far in the future. He might find himself on the roster faster than ever, and Alex DeBrinkett joins us now. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Have you lifted any weights yet today?
No, not yet.
But you got a gym routine. You must be doing it every day, right?
Well, we're working out later in the day at Prospect Camp. So, usually I'm in the morning, but here we're doing it later in the day.
Yeah, for people that – there's no question about your talent, but for people that question your size, this is one of your main deals, right? You're going to get – we know you're fast. You just got to get a little stronger, or at least that's what they're telling you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something I've been working on, every summer, but this summer especially, that's something they really want me to do, and it's get a lot bigger and stronger and, just be able to battle with the men that you have to play against in the NHL.
Do you spend much time thinking about having a roster spot and slipping on that sweater and being in the big time?
No, I don't try not to think about it too much. I just try to stay in the moment and, right now I'm worried about prospect camp and worrying about how I'm doing here and what I can do to impress them. So I kind of take it one step at a time. And, when training camp comes, I'm sure those thoughts will maybe roll through my mind a little bit more than they do now.
Can you believe how old Kane and Taves are?
No, they're not too old.
We know when they were his age.
How about when Kane and Taves came up, Alex was 9.
Yeah.
How about that? Say hi to Dave Ennett, sports director. Hey, Dave, say hi to Alex.
Alex, good morning. So over 60 goals last year, you've had unbelievable, a couple of 50-goal seasons before that for Erie. Have you always had this knack for putting the puck in the net? I mean, going back to your days as a little kid on the ice has just been something you've always been good at?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always kind of been same amount of goals as assists in my seasons. And, you know, I think these past few years it's kind of bumped up a little bit. But, you know, I've always loved scoring goals. So I think that's kind of what drives me to do what I've done.
You had a streak, 19 straight games with at least one goal. I believe the total was 26 goals during that streak. What was that like going through it?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, it's tough to do. And, you know, that last game I got pretty lucky with scoring on an empty net. So, you know, the bounces kind of just go your way when you have a streak. And, you know, like I said, I was getting really lucky. And to be honest, we were trying to keep it on the down low during the streak. You know, when you start talking about it too much, it goes away real quick. So
it's a long time to be in the zone.
Yeah, we were trying to not talk about it all, and, you know, my teammates respected that, and no one really said too much until it was over. So, you know, that was good of them, and, you know, it was pretty cool to be on that streak.
What's your nickname? Is it Brinksy?
Yeah, I have a ton. Brinksy, Binksy, I don't know, there's so many.
Nobody calls you the cat?
Not too much.
That's good. I think that's good. I think the cat would be a little lame. I like Brinksy.
Now, you're a Michigan guy, so did you grow up a Red Wings fan, and is that a problem for you now?
Let me tell you something, Brinksy. If we find any Red Wings jerseys in your apartment when you move to town, it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, I was a Red Wings fan, but not anymore. That changed pretty quickly once I got drafted, so there's not much Red Wings stuff in my house anymore.
Can you just, I mean, you look at that Blackhawks logo. For someone in your position with your whole career ahead of you, it's got to be nothing but cool thinking about wearing that sweater.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's so much tradition there and history, and, you know, I'm just really happy to be a part of it. And probably the coolest logo in all of sports. So, you know, it's really cool for me to put that on and try to make that team.
Have they told you what to expect this weekend at the Blackhawks convention?
No, not too much. You know, I just was told when to show up, and I'm sure I'll know a lot more kind of coming towards that weekend.
Well, Dave Ennett and I will be there on Friday night for the opening ceremony, so if you're intimidated by screaming fans who want to tell you how much they love you, you just come hide with us.
It sounds good.
Great talking to you, man. You seem like a fine young man. I'm sure you come from a great family, and we're thrilled that you're going to be a Chicago Blackhawk. So stay healthy.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good day. Good kid, huh?
Yeah. But I just think first time at the convention, I think it's first time he's in the prospect camp this week. You know, how do you prepare a guy for what he's going to see?
No, those guys have
no
idea.
In Chicago this weekend.
And we saw it with, who was the guy that came from the Rangers? Brad
Richards.
Brad Richards.
Yeah.
Brad Richards.
And he played in New York.
NHL vet from the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, all over the league. He said he couldn't believe how loud and insane it was when he came to convention. So, I mean, guys just don't know what they're getting into until they get here. Remember the Stanley Cup guys, the keeper of the cup? They go, oh, it's way different in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, in Canada, people stand back from the cup. Here, they want to make out with it.
Remember we had the tracker, the cup tracker, too? People were following it on Twitter?
Yeah.
It had its own Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Well, you don't mess with Blackhawks fans. You like Brinksy? Brinksy's probably pretty good.
Brinksy. I think you're right.
I'm going to call him the cat. The cat's kind of lame. Besides, you're Mr. Cat.
I don't see.
I would sue him.
I would share it with him.
No,
if he scores goals.
The minute he uses the cat, you sue him. Hey, speaking of great athletes, it's not just Alex DeBrincat from your Chicago Blackhawks. We have an update on the bull.
Oh, yeah.
The bull from the Running of the Bulls in Pamplona.
Who gored the guy?
Yeah, that knucklehead that was on the show a bunch of times that got gored. There is some question on whether the bulls had some sort of performance-enhancing drug that was used on them to make them crazier and run faster and make the whole thing even more insane.
Oh, we'll get to the bottom of it right
now. So we're going to talk to the bull coming up in just a second.
I hope he's not emotional again.
He's very emotional for a guy that size. I take my red cape and I wave it in your face. The Running of the Bulls, Pamplona. Another year in the books from just a couple of weeks ago, but the same Chicago dope, Bill Hillman, who was gored a couple of times and was on the show. And by the way, we tried to get him back, but he wouldn't come back on. I'm not sure why. Maybe we'll get him when he comes back to town. But the bull that gored him a couple of years ago did not gore him this time. I'm sure you caught his follow-up interview and is asked to come out again to clear up some performance-enhancing drug rumors. Live now, the Pamplona Bull. Good morning, Bull.
Good morning. Buenos dias, my friends.
Yes, and good morning to you. Are you in
Pamplona? It's good to hear you guys. Where are you calling me from?
Yes, we're calling from America. Are you at Pamplona?
Just this, my radio peoples?
Yes, that is who this is. Yes, are you in Pamplona?
I am in Pamplona right now, yes.
Yes. And Pamplona, what does Pamplona mean? Is there a meaning behind the name of the town?
Yes, it means to buy the pampers for the baby.
All right. I didn't see that coming. All right, so you were the bull that gored Bill Hillman a couple of years ago. I think it's Bill Hillman. I think that name's right.
Yes, Bill.
And now he got gored again, but he didn't do it last time. However, there's rumors out there that all of your bull friends, you're all using performance-enhancing drugs. What do you have to say about that?
Well, there was a big article in the Spanish newspaper. They talk about this, and we have specific rules that we have to follow. There can be no, like, you can't have nose rings when you run. You can't have grippy hooves. They don't want you to have grippy hooves.
Where do you get the grippy hooves? Is that an accessory?
You can get them at Dick's.
What department is that in?
I just like the idea.
I know it's on the second floor.
I like the idea that there's a Dick's Sporting Goods in Pamplona. All right, so no grippy hooves.
No grippy hooves, no tattoos except for the brand.
Okay, sure, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
And so it's like a sponsorship tattoo.
Yes. But you also cannot take something before you run. And the one thing they don't want us to take is sugar.
Because
you can't have sugar because it gets you too going, you know, too fast.
You run around like a crazy bull.
You know, you're like a 5-year-old on candy. You know, go crazy, and they don't want you to eat the sugar. And Sentido, who is the bull that attacked Bill, that gored him, they found. I feel bad for Sentido because he's too young.
Here we go.
He doesn't know, but they found a whole 2-bag full of Reese's Pieces.
I'm sorry. What did they find?
They found a whole bag of Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces.
Yes, and he thought, I'm just going to snack before the run, and he did not know, so he disqualified, and I think we are going to sue now.
What did he eat again?
Reese's Pieces, a whole bag.
Reese's Pieces. Okay, I think I got it. So the sugar buzz from that was a performance-enhancing drug. Nothing more serious than that.
No, but he also, he told me this. He not tell the officials. He also had pixie sticks.
Oh, well, see, you put the two together. You put the riff-piff-piff together with the pixie sticks, and that's where you run into trouble.
That is all. That is like the max. That's the Mount Everest of sugar.
Yeah, you know, Reese's Pieces is a gateway candy.
Oh, and combine it with pixie sticks?
Yes.
Jeez.
That's a big problem. All right, well, thanks for the clarification. I think it's important to the other bulls that you get them off the hook here by telling people the truth, and I think you did.
I just want everybody to know, Sentido, he did not mean to do what he did, but he done it.
Again, for the kids listening, he did not mean to do what he did, but he done it.
I want to know how the bull is feeling. He's very emotional.
Very emotional.
Very emotional.
You going to be okay, bull?
I'm going to be okay. Yeah, I have a hockey game to do tonight.
In case you missed it, the bull calls. He does color analysis. What's the word I'm looking for?
He's doing play. Actually, I think he's doing play by play.
Color commentary.
ESPN. Which Bente Trace?
Yes, Bente Trace. Yes, that's right. That's right.
We only have one hockey team here in Spain. It's called the Inquisition. You probably heard of us. Whether you win or lose, you lose.
That's great. And again, for people who are looking for the sticky hooves, where do they find them at Dick's?
Grippy.
You can get them second floor.
Second floor for the grippy hooves.
Grippy hooves.
The grippy hooves.
It's funny they would put them high up.
I feed those to my dog sometimes.
The grippy hooves?
The grippy, yeah, the bull hooves. Yeah,
yeah, that's great. Thank you, Bull.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Bull.
Adios.
Bye, Bull.
He just said goodbye to the bull.
Like, say goodbye to himself.
Doesn't he have a name?
He did. Mr. Bull.
And did you hear the breathing, too? Has he got one of those nose rings in his nose? Is that why he's...
Well, the bulls always breathe very heavily.
Yeah.
He's just very emotional.
Yeah, he's a mess.
Yeah.
802, Andre will take care of Dean's Entertainment Report coming up after the news, which is next on 720 WG.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The world looks so much different. The traffic, period, the streets don't look like the streets that you call them when you're 500 feet off the ground.
Right.
Boy.
You know, the Kennedy just doesn't look like the Kennedy. It just looks like the Eisenhower that's sitting virtually right next to it. You know, the rest of them.
He always scared me half to death because he would call and he'd be like, yeah, we seem to be having some, Mary, Chapter 1, have the blizzard conditions. Yeah, we're going to land at about 5. And he'd say so calmly, and I'd be like, Mike, get down!
No, there was nothing to worry about then.
It's our friend Mike Mathis, who we sadly report this morning. Passed away a couple of days ago, 67 years old. Services this week. And, one of the great guys, period. Spike Odell wrote on his Facebook page, I want to make sure I get the quote right. Annie Maxfield texted me last night, said her heart was broken. And Spike on Facebook basically echoed the same thing, said, my heart is broken. You will never find a more decent human being in the world than Mike Mathis. Long time, Mary Vanderbilt, how long was he on GN?
25 years, I believe. Yeah, I started, I think, in like 83 and ended in about 2008.
Yeah. 2008, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
I had the pleasure of having him do traffic for me for a long time. And just a good guy. And when he left, he was like the wind.
Yes.
One day he was here working. The next day he was semi-retired.
Yeah, and then went back to work for the Illinois State Police. He worked for the Cook County Sheriff's Department. Just a great guy.
But 67, far too young. And what we now know is that, and you guys apparently knew this, I admit I was a fool about this, I did not know. Said he had heart issues for years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. And ran in his family as well, I believe.
So to his wife, to his kids, to his grandkids, couldn't be more sorry, more sad about it, and we will miss him greatly. So, and that was just a little clip from an interview, I don't know, a month or two ago when we were getting ready for the Walk of Fame. If you're a Mike Mathis fan or a GN fan, you find yourself downtown anytime this summer, come by the Walk of Fame and you'll see his plaque. And I salute the birthday boy, Todd Manley, who turns 55 today. Our boss, Todd Manley, is one of the guys who said, we got to get Mathis in.
Yes, he did.
And it had nothing related to his health. He just said it's more than about time.
Absolutely.
So thankfully we had a chance to spend that time with him.
Very well deserved.
See him honored. So, and he appreciated it very much. All right, Dean is off today. He's sick or sickly. and you have some show business news.
Yes, we do.
All right, what's up?
You want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, a little Beyonce news. Now, Beyonce and Jay-Z had twins, Rumi and Sir Carter.
I'm sorry?
Rumi and Sir Carter, spelled R-U-M-I.
Child's name is Rumi?
Yes. We had a little discussion on whether it was Rumi or Rummy. Mm-hmm. Thanks to some quick investigative work by Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, it is Rumi.
Okay.
And Sir Carter, not Carter. The world
Sir
has
Sir Carter?
Been,
how do you spell Sir Carter?
S-I-R-C-A-R-T-E-R.
Those aren't two names? That's one name?
It's one name. Sir Carter. She said, please don't call him Carter. It's Sir Carter.
Well, he was knighted a little young, wasn't he?
Give him a chance to grow up and get beat up on the playground because of that name.
Now, the world was dying and waiting with bated breath on Twitter for Beyonce to announce who was born first. Any guesses, Steve? Rumi or Sir Carter?
When was I Don't Care born? Was I Don't Care born first or second?
We can stop waiting. Rumi was born first at 5:13 in the morning. Sir Carter made it into the world 1 minute later.
Listen, I am very happy for both of them. I think they should have been called Heir and Heiress because they're going to get all the Jay-Z Beyonce money someday. But I hope they grow up and are normal and productive members of society.
And by the way, I know you're waiting for this, too. Five-year-old Blue Ivy says she loves being a big sister.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
All righty.
She had her writers write that line for
moving
her.
Moving on. Here's a story for Sandberg. Paige Davis is returning to a new Trading Spaces reboot.
Well, we love Paige. We've known her forever.
Love Paige.
And terrific star on Broadway. Great dancer.
She's fantastic. It's a DIYer's dream come true. Trading Spaces host Paige Davis will be returning to the show. It will be officially relaunched and rebooted in the spring of 2018.
Last time she was on with us, she was throwing out hints that she hadn't been asked yet.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, her married name is Paige Paige.
Paige Paige. That's right. She Paige, married again in Paige.
That's right. All right. Beyonce. All right. We did Beyonce. Justin Bieber news. This is really nice. Bieber surprised fans at a children's hospital in Orange County yesterday. He surprised kids at the children's hospital to meet fans, take pictures, and he then said some prayers with the patients as well.
Nice. Really, how do we know that he was there if it was a surprise?
Well, there was a picture of him on Instagram.
Did the hospital leak it or did his publicist put it up?
Oh, I think the publicist did. Then he put some pictures of himself on Instagram with the kids as well. Mm. A nice thought, but, you know, the Biebs,
that's a nice thing to do.
The Biebs is on tour. A lot of hotels and places all across the country are kind of celebrating the Biebs tour. This Denver hotel package is still available.
Why?
I'm telling you.
Why would they be celebrating?
This is worth it. Why don't you, you know, you and Dave could do something like this. For a meager $5,000, this hotel in Denver is offering a package that promises to make fans sick with Bieber mania. Their words, not mine. Two-night accommodation at the Curtis, four tickets to Bieber's upcoming show on August 12th at the Sports Authority Field, money to go toward concert merchandise, and you get a free box of Justin's favorite cereal, Berry Captain Crunch, and there's a do-it-yourself nacho bar 24/7 in the hotel.
Give me the rundown again. It's $5,000.
$5,000.
And we get two nights at the hotel, the Carter. I don't know the Carter. Is that like a five-star or something?
The Curtis Hotel in Denver. It's a nice hotel. Nicer hotel.
All right, let's say it's a five-star hotel. It's $500 a night, maybe?
Yeah. But this is $5,000 for two nights.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure this out. So $500 a night is $1,000. What else am I getting?
You get four tickets to the Biebs concert on August 12th.
Four tickets to the Biebs concert, probably. Well, let's say they're $500 a piece. They're not, but let's say they're. So that's $3,000. We're up to $3,000. What else do we get?
$200 Visa gift card for Bieber merchandise.
$3,200.
Okay, and then a box of Berry Captain Crunch, your favorite cereal.
His seems like pretty good profit margin. Up to $3,203.50.
Okay, yeah. Then there's a do-it-yourself nacho bar, which is 24/7 in the hotel. I mean, right there, that's your $5,000.
Did somebody say 24-hour nacho bar? What?
By the way, Steve has nacho fever. It's a totally different type of fever from Bieber fever.
So you know what
I had the other day?
24 hours.
You know what I had the other day? I had tacos in a bag. You ever have tacos in a
bag? Oh, is it good?
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
It's pretty good.
So do you use a fork? Use a fork to eat that, or is it actually
use
like
a fork?
No, you a Dorito bag. And
yeah, it's like a
crunch up the Doritos and
tin
put...
bag. Well, they're not Doritos, though. They're made there.
They're homemade corn tortillas.
Yeah.
That can do either way. We sell those a lot at fundraisers and stuff.
They do?
You know, if you're having a school fundraiser or stuff at the concession stand, we'll make tacos in a bag.
Oh, this is not a place, though. This is a restaurant.
Yeah, Lincoln Square.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Tacos in a bag.
It just reminds me of like Joey Taco in a Bag Manicusco.
Hey, Joey
Taco in a Bag Manicusco.
Mexican and Italian.
Right. We got to say congratulations to Danny Moore about the nacho bar.
No, we're good.
All right, good. Congrats to Roger.
Why did
Ebert.
I bring that up?
Why? Oh, because we were talking about the Biebs tour, and he stopped off of in California to visit kids at the cancer hospital.
Yeah, but how did I get to tacos in a bag?
Because the nacho bar.
Oh, the nacho bar. That was it.
I think because I started drooling over nacho bar.
That was it. Okay.
That was it. Yeah. Okay. Congratulations, Roger Ebert, who wrote 17 books. He's going to be inducted into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame.
Seems right.
On August 19th, the ceremony is emceed by our very own Rick Hogan.
Okay, that's
going to be very nice. Chaz Ebert will be accepting the award for him. Mariah Carey, if there wasn't enough reality TV out there, there's going to be a new biographical drama series coming to Stars, written in and starring in and about Mariah Carey's life.
Who's playing Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, hold on a second. She's doing a biographical movie about herself where she stars as herself?
Yeah. That's the plan for now.
Isn't that a documentary?
That could change. Or an autobiography, yeah.
Yeah, but wouldn't it just be a documentary? Why would you need
wouldn't
a script
it just
for that?
Be called A Waste of My Time?
Well, considering
it is that. That's the title. It's called A Waste of Your Time.
Considering there's more than one episode, yeah.
But is this supposedly a scripted drama?
Yeah, she's writing it. She's writing it herself.
Oh, writing it? It's your life. What do you have to write?
Well, it's just she said it's going to examine her life as a biracial child who overcame difficult childhood because her parents were divorced when she was three.
Wow.
I didn't say you have to watch it. And one more for you.
How much of it will take place in the cleavage?
All of it,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Was she? Did you study her at the CBA?
Not the CBA. The
CBI, sorry.
The CBI.
I know.
Yes.
All right, and the last one for
and
you.
And the mountains are fake.
Speaking of mountains, Madonna has won. She had to go to court because apparently there's a, you know, they have all these celebrity auctions that go on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There was a Material Girl auction. They were auctioning off love letters that Madonna wrote to Tupac.
I've got a couple.
Including a handwritten letter from him to her when he was in prison.
I don't have that, but I have the letter she wrote to me.
And her personally worn panties that went up on the auction block. So she went to court
to stop
it.
Hold on a second. How would you know and how did they get them?
Okay, that's
now, there was a period in the 80s and 90s where every dude probably could have gotten a pair of Madonna's panties. But how would you know they were authentic?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked because there's a note that came with the panties on her little handwritten. It's handwritten by Madonna on her personalized stationery, which just says Madonna with a bunch of hearts. And it says, "Hi, baby. I'm sending you a package for love and luck. The sunflower is very good luck. You should always have them in your house. Also, my underwear that you requested. Holy water for obvious reasons, and my new record. Please listen to it."
And who is she sending that to?
That's to Tupac.
Oh, so
she dated.
Okay, so Tupac had her panties,
mm-hmm.
and then whoever got Tupac stuff when he was killed is now trying to make money off her panties.
Trying to make money off the panties. So
if you're selling Madonna's panties, you need a new career.
Well, wait. So she went to court. Her attorneys filed an emergency order on Tuesday, trying to keep the auction house from putting anything, including the panties, up for auction, and she did win that emergency order. They're going to revisit the issue sometime later in the week.
They ought to revisit something. All of this sponsored by Ravinia's CSO series, and we'll come back, get the big story coming up on 720 WGN. On behalf of Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet, his wife Mary Sandberg Boyle, and the Steve Cochran Show in general, thanks to everybody out at Kemper, Kemper Sports Management, Kemper Lesnick. Because yesterday was the Kemper Invitational and played at the beautiful Glen Club with my pal Emil Esposito. Best friends. Currently working with Dave Ennett and soon to be working with Andre Darlos.
Yes.
Emil Esposito, who saved my golf summer by simply looking at my grip and going, "What the hell are you doing there?"
That's pretty much what he said to me.
Yeah, yeah, and fixed it. So I would highly recommend Emil Esposito for lessons anytime.
Because I want him to fix my grip,
out
too.
Of the Glen Club.
You think he'll say the same thing to me, but say...
He'll say it in a nice way. What are you doing? What's going on with your grip, doll?
Yeah.
Yeah, be something nicer like that. Yeah. But he's a great, great teacher and a better guy. It is 8:31, back after this with the big story on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We could have this flood again in another month. We did have a flood of this elevation only 4 years ago.
Well, obviously, we're going to have to rip out our entire carpet in the basement. We're going to have to probably cut out some drywall.
When it comes down that fast, pipes get filled with water, and there's no place for the water to pump. So this is what happened.
We're going to have to get rid of all our baseboards. We're going to have to repaint. It's going to be expensive, I have a feeling.
I want to estimate around 30,000 bags we handbagged.
Trying to get them sand is really hard. That house is really bad, too, because the street's about 4 or 5 feet deep. You can't just drive sand to them. We got to take them 5-10 bags at a time by boat, so it's been a lot of work.
We've now had, by my count, I believe, 3 storms of the century in the last 10 years. We should probably get Skilling on to talk about that. You know, and is this part of the global warming story? The people of Round Lake Area Schools have been just hammered. Dr. Phil George, a principal at Murphy, will join us in just a second. But let me start with Sheila Duhane, who is Director of Operations for Round Lake Area Schools. Do I have your title right, Sheila?
Yes, you do.
I'm sorry what you're going through there, and I'm sorry the kids and the families are going through it as well. It's got to be ridiculous.
Yeah, we got hit pretty hard. Some of our elementary buildings were impacted, but undoubtedly the community was hit equally hard. So a lot of our families are still digging their homes from underwater.
So as far as the schools itself go, is it too early to even quantify the damage, or are you getting a look at it now?
It is still relatively early. We have been working very closely with our restoration company as well as our insurance adjuster. But, yeah, preliminary numbers are starting to be formatted, but we're still trying to figure out the extent of the damage.
Because the deal here that people need to realize, if you're like me and you live in the western burbs and you didn't get hit, how lucky you are. For instance, let me go to Dr. Phil Georgia here, who is in charge of the school, the Murphy School. You guys lost your library, is that right, Doctor?
Yeah, that's correct. We had the library under 4 feet of water, but the lower level also had four classrooms, our book room of curricular supplies, the gym is down in the lower level, and also our music room. So we had quite a number of areas that were hit by the damage.
So I assume you lost the instruments and things in the music room, too?
Not all of them. It's a tiered music room with different levels, and so a number of the things were on the upper levels. And when we got into the building the first day of the storm, the water was only 15 inches, so a number of things were able to get moved up before the water came up any higher.
You know what's amazing, though, and you know this, Doctor, as you do as well, Sheila, it doesn't take much water to do a ton of damage. You get just a couple of inches or an inch of water, you know, and everything at that level, it's done. You got to replace it. You got to tear out carpeting. You got to do all those things. Sheila, when will you know if there's any mold issues going forward?
So right now we are conducting a structural analysis. So we've had the structural engineer come out. Right now we're combing through our electrical systems as well as the HVAC systems. But we are anticipating having mold. Not only did we have several feet of water, but it sat for quite a long time just because the village had difficulty pumping out water. And so the assumption is that there is mold present, or there will potentially be mold. And so we're just going to take precautionary measures, cut out all drywall, cut out all carpet, replace ceiling tiles, anything that was touched by water, we're considering a total loss. Because, again, we just need to err on the side of caution for the sake of the kids.
Were you both amazed by the number of volunteers that showed up from day one when this started to happen? I mean, we've been covering this for several days now, and you've been living it, but people showing up to sandbag to help remove stuff from the school. We saw all those images on TV of people just showing up and saying, how can I help in any way?
Yeah, so we've had an outpouring of support from the community. We weren't actually able to sandbag because the water came up so quickly. For at least a 24-hour period, the water outside the school was about a foot higher than the water inside. And so we've just been dealing with a wider range of people calling, from current retired staff, students, parents, neighbors, community groups. The wider education community has been amazing in reaching out to us, everybody just asking what they can do to help.
So is it a blessing this happened during the summer so you don't have to miss time at school?
Well, absolutely. It could have happened earlier in the summer.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
It could have not happened at all. But we just have to deal with what we have.
What does that mean timing-wise, Sheila, for the fix?
So obviously, we were already stripping and waxing floors. We were painting.
Yep.
And so, unfortunately, this is definitely not what you want to see from a facility standpoint. So we are really in a crunch right now. We're trying to make sure that we explore all options in order to start school in August. So, I mean, that is still very much the goal, but obviously it's going to be hard to do so.
Yeah, and parents should understand that now and make whatever potential tentative arrangements you might need to make, because you could be on a delay. It could be a few days, could be longer.
That's possible. Again, we're exploring all options at this point. And we're really, we've had a huge outpour from internal schools. Like, so a lot of our other elementary buildings have opened their doors, neighboring districts. We've had mobile companies reach out. So we're really digging through and seeing what options are available. But luckily, we have a lot of options to try to maintain the school year and hopefully not start that much later than normal if we need to do that at all.
So, Sheila, if there is a way for people to help who weren't hammered by this and feel terribly for what you guys are going through, I mean, what do they do?
So we are anticipating full coverage through our insurance company,
okay.
So which is great for us. However, I know that the Round Lake Public Library, they're accepting books on our behalf. as well as our education foundation. They're also accepting donations. So if people want to reach out and make donations, those are probably the two best avenues to go through. But again, those will be above and beyond because we are anticipating that insurance will restore what was lost.
And as far as manpower and just physical labor goes, neighbors are helping neighbors and everybody's stepping up, I guess, right?
Yeah, the community has been extremely resilient. They've really come together. I met a lady who lives off Greenwood, which is right across the street from Murphy, and she emptied out her refrigerator and was just passing food around to all her neighbors. So the outpouring of support and just help for each other has been amazing.
Dr. Georgia, is there anything that can be done as a teaching moment out of this when the kids come back to school? I mean, some of them may be too young to understand, but, you know, the importance of money and what insurance means and all of those things, does that apply here at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's some great opportunities for that. I think the larger lesson that I'm learning from this is just the value of community and people reaching out and helping each other. When the flooding first started, our staff were really worried about their classrooms and their personal belongings. And then we found out that a lot of that stuff is really going to be covered by insurance, and that their hearts then just kind of went out to the community around us. We're a neighborhood school. We've got some aerial photos of the flood on our Facebook page, and you can see all the houses just right next to the school that have been, you know, really affected by that. So, you know, our staff, you know, as much as they've lost, they've turned around and said, you know, we need to help our community members and our families. So they set up a GoFundMe page and have just, it's just really shown the spirit of our teachers and their character and really the face of the American public school educator.
Well, we appreciate it, and we're feeling for you. And if you need help publicizing any of this, we hope you'll let us know. And Sheila, I know you got to keep an eye on all the schools, so same goes for you. If you need help with any publicity, let us know.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you to both, and good luck with the rest of the summer. There goes your easy summer cruising into another school year.
But you know, you did make a good point. Not that you want this to happen ever, but at least they're not missing school.
Right.
They're getting it all taken care of. They're taking out the drywall today, you know, and hopefully by the time school starts, it'll be ready to go.
Let's see. Now, this is why I'm not a handyman. It's not that I don't have the ability to learn the skills. It's that in time when people really need me, I'd have to step up.
Which you always do. You'd make a monetary donation.
Yeah, I'd step up. Here, let me hand you my wallet.
You
That's
can
how I
lift
normally
a
step
sandbag.
Up. I can, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll lift
out. You're strong.
CLTV will join us in a little bit next hour as well. John DeCoste noticed something on the road while he was in Ohio the past couple of weeks. And the glut of television shows that are getting more fractionalized in their interest. Like, John, wasn't there a show called Why Are My Lips Swollen? Wasn't that one of them?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's not a TV show. That's a question.
It is.
Yeah, my nose or your nose?
So coming up before 10 o'clock, a chance for you to win. Even though we haven't played the Madigan game lately either. We should probably bring that back. But we have prizes to give away is the point here, and we'll play TV show or not a TV show coming up before 10 o'clock. All right, I want you to listen to this clip of President Trump, and let's try together to figure out exactly what he's saying, what he knows and what he doesn't know. This is regards to health care and how the Republicans don't have the votes they need. This is Mr. Repeal and Replace. Listen.
We have 52 people. We had four no's. Now, we might have had another one somewhere in there, but essentially the vote would have been pretty close to, if you look at it, 48-4. That's a pretty impressive vote by any standard. And yet you have a vote of 48-4 or something like that. Those few people that voted against it, I don't know, they're going to have to explain to you why they did. And I'm sure they'll have very fine reasons. But we have to get more Republicans elected because we have to get it done. We got it passed in the House. You can't use his head as a stand, right? We don't want that to happen. You're messing with the wrong guy here.
There is no vote. No vote took place. There are 100 U.S. senators, and the vice president serves as a tiebreaker as the president of the Senate. Okay, if it goes to a 50-50 tie, the party in control always wins.
Vice president,
the
right.
The party in control of the White House.
Right.
So in this case, the Republicans would win. However, 52-48 is what the total would be that you would need to win. What he's talking about is we had 48 yeses and four Republicans on the fence.
Right.
But there was no vote.
No, it wasn't
no
52
vote
to
took
4.
Place.
That'd be impossible for it to be 52 to
well,
4.
We said
anyway.
48-4. There was no 48-4.
Right.
48-4 didn't exist. And by the way, that's not how legislation gets passed. There was no 4. Play it again. I want to hear it one more time.
Oh. We have 52 people. We had 4 no's. Now, we might have had another one somewhere in there, but essentially the vote would have been pretty close to, if you look at it, 48-4. That's a pretty impressive vote by any standard.
There's no 48-4 vote. And by the way, you don't need more Republicans. You need more legislation that works that people can get behind. So you already control the House and the Senate and the White House. And the reason you can't get anything done is because you're really bad at the job.
And yet you have a vote of 48-4 or something like that.
There was no vote.
This is why we go home, Andrea and I especially, with headaches, because we listen to this audio and we're supposed to write newscasts around this stuff. Right. It's like, wait, what just happened?
And we look at each other and go, you do it. No, you.
Yeah, because it's really hard to explain in the context of a newscast why that's bad. Yeah. But here's why it's bad. If the guy that's running the country doesn't understand how a law is passed and doesn't understand how Congress works, that's bad.
I'm just a bill.
Here's my tip.
It's your turn, Andrea. It's your turn.
Here's my tip. Less love letters to Vladimir Putin, more time with Schoolhouse Rock. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
We got some issues in Illinois. You know what we don't have issues with? We have great farmers markets.
Yes.
Right?
We certainly do.
Am I right or am I right?
Right.
And the executive director of Green City Market is Melissa Flynn in studio with me now. And also, my old buddy Chris is here, one of the great PR guys in town. But anyway, this is all about the Green City Market and 100-plus big shot chefs taking part in the 17th annual Green City Market Chef Barbecue, which is coming up in just a few days. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Was this your dream, your vision?
No, this is the 17th season, so I've inherited this vision and just grew it a bit.
When you inherit a dream, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I guess it depends on the dream.
That is for sure. In this case, it's been a really good thing, and we've grown a lot in 17 years from about 12 vendors and chefs working with us to over 100 now working with us.
I'm looking at the list. It's unbelievable.
It is the who's who of Chicago culinary world. It's incredible.
And are you going to be cooking live?
They will be. So the chefs, we have over 50 grills that will be going. There's going to be dishes for every palate, 35 vegetarian dishes. There will be gazpacho because there's a chance it might be warm tomorrow. There will be grilled dishes. There will be incredible
Look at
desserts.
You. I know, look at how excited Andrea is.
I know. I love the farmer's market. Remember, when you guys started, it was mainly fruits and vegetables, and jellies and things of that sort. But now the meat products that you guys have are so good.
Absolutely. It just makes such a difference. The meat, the eggs, you can see the difference.
And there's no food. I'm looking through this list. There's no food I can see on here that you can't find.
No.
Like whatever your desire might be.
Every palate will be happy. You'll leave wonderfully full and not a bit thirsty.
Including our new pal from GT Fish and Oyster, who was just in here the other day.
Giuseppe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dave, I don't know if you were paying too close attention because you're preparing the next sportscast, but we have a combination of things here. We have vegetarian food. Which you love, and the ability to get booze. So this is a win-win for you.
Oh, it seems like it's kind of all the major food groups right there.
Right. Yeah. Vegetarian food, booze.
You've got it covered.
Where and when?
It is Thursday,
tomorrow,
20th, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. in Lincoln Park, right about 1800 North Clark Street.
Well, it's very exciting. Now, of the new folks that are coming in, who are you most excited about? Go ahead, pick your favorites. Make some enemies.
Yes, and say, boy, you put me in a tough spot. There are so many. I was just quickly looking through the menu. Floreal has a maple-soaked corn cake with blueberries. That sounds incredible.
That does sound good. Yeah.
There's paella by Solero. That sounds really good. There's, like I said, gazpacho. It is hard to pick my favorite. There's things like black garlic and blueberry glazed spare ribs, which is just such a great example of food from our market. The black garlic is incredible on things if you haven't tried it.
And what hours are we talking about?
Tomorrow, a VIP opens at 4:30, and the general admission opens at 5:30 and goes to 8.
Tickets how and where?
GreenCityMarket.org, and they are online, and you can buy them at the door.
The different recipes are so cool lately, too, because I know everybody loves bacon, but mm-hmm. there's a booth, I think, now that they do where with the bacon glaze, and then they dip it in different, you know, kinds of toppings. Never thought you could put toppings on bacon. It's so awesome, including chocolate.
Chocolate's very good.
Yeah, chocolate and bacon. Yeah, uh-huh. yeah.
That'd be your booth.
That would be my booth. That's my thing. Uh-huh. Well, tell me more about Green City Market.
Sure. We're going into our 19th season this year. We started with just 6 vendors where we had to beg people to come. And we got the chefs on board early, which is great to see that they're still supporting us 19 years later. And now we have about 55 vendors on a Saturday and 35 vendors on a Wednesday and have grown to 4 market days a week.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. As well as we work in the Bronzeville community, bringing food down there every week to an area that hasn't had access to food.
Right.
And we're piloting a couple of educational programs in schools this fall where we'll be building out kitchen classrooms and garden classrooms so the kids can learn STEM, just absolutely hands-on, science, technology, engineering, math, in the garden, in the kitchen, and learn a whole lot of life skills on the way.
Now, obviously, we're before harvest season here, so where's all the good produce coming from?
So fortunately, right now, the berries are in season. You've got stone fruit coming in season. We brought some berries for you to taste today.
All right, okay.
if you have to. Those are Mikklug blueberries and Mikklug raspberries.
Can you reach us?
And then the greens are coming in. Eggplants are coming in. So we live in the Midwest, so the bounty is just absolutely coming in. The squashes
and
are amazing.
And the sweet corn, though, too, Ori.
Sweet corn starting to come in.
The sweet corn now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, you know I don't like the kale, but I love fruit.
Oh, I do, too.
So I've got a couple of blueberries and a raspberry. I like to mix them up.
I'm a
thrill seeker like that.
Just look
way
like,
to throw caution to the wind.
Right?
great raspberries.
And is this a good growing season?
It has been a good growing season with the heat, and then with the earlier warmth this year, things have come in a little bit earlier. So we're starting.
What about all the rain we had in April?
So the rain was tough, but fortunately, most of our vendors have come through the rain pretty well. But it really, you know, it is a tough business. The farmers have the toughest job in the world because they have no control over how their season is going to be. But so far, they've done really well this year.
Yeah, you wonder why farmers go to church. Huh?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Because all you have to do is predict the weather and then bet your future on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's so important now more than ever that people support our local farmers. It's the best way to know where your food is coming from, the meat, like you were saying. This way you know how it's being grown and that you're bringing the best food home.
I've heard different theories. I know, you know, Mom always used to say, wash off all the fruit beforehand. Then I heard someone say, don't wash off strawberries because once you do that and put them in the fridge, then the shelf life is only like a day or two. So should you always wash off all fruits?
It depends.
Okay, there you go.
So it does depend. I tend to not wash the strawberries till just before I'm going to eat them. I will tell you that because I know the practices of my farmers, I often just pick them up and eat them.
Well, it also depends what you're washing it with.
Absolutely. Right.
I would argue there's certain municipalities where you don't want to use the water on a bit of fresh fruit.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see you, and congratulations on all the success. For continuing information on Green City Market, even beyond tomorrow, what do people do?
They can always go to our website, greencitymarket.org, and of course, follow us online at #GreenCity or GCMBBQ. They can see teasers of the menus coming up, and of course, at Green City Market.
And for tomorrow, again, the VIP situation at 4:30, you still have tickets for that?
We still have a few tickets for VIP and just a few more for general admission. So please buy your tickets.
Would you consider Dave and Andrea VIPs? I would.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And Chris, did we miss anything?
No, you got it covered.
We got it covered, didn't we?
As always.
Not my first show, is it?
No, this is definitely not your first rodeo.
Chris and I go all the way back to, who were you with when I met you? Was it AT&T?
AT&T Wireless back in about 2000.
Whatever happened to them? They still in business?
Yeah, they're doing quite well and actually looking to do a little merger with Time Warner.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll happen. But all we care about is Green City Market. That's what our focus is. Green City Market, 100-plus top chefs in the 17th annual Green City Market Chef Barbecue tomorrow.
Yes.
Eat up. Enjoy it. 9:19, back in a moment. We're going to play a little game here. You want to play TV show or not a TV show? Let's see how TV smart you are in just a second. Steve Harvey hosts game shows. Michael Strahan hosts game shows. Why can't DeCoste host a game show?
I think he'd be perfect for it, don't you?
John DeCoste, game show host, next on 720 WGN. Call if you want to play. Yes, and welcome. Welcome to America's fastest growing game show.
it's TV show or not a TV show. John DeCosta spent 2 weeks of his life traveling around Ohio, working at a great network of stand-up clubs. This goes back to your original time as a carny.
Yes.
You ran the Tilt-A-Whirl, I know, for years.
I ran the Tilt-A-Whirl, and then I switched over to the little trains.
So here's what we have to give away. We've got a Pequod's Pizza gift card, an Apt gift card. We've got Chevy.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mugs from ChevyDriveChicago.com. All these to be given away when we play TV show or not a TV show. And this, the inspiration for this is you are watching TV.
I was watching cable television in Ohio.
And you couldn't believe the crap that's on TV.
Yeah, I just kept pushing. I'm sure we've all done it, but it's like, wow, Basketball Wives and Basketball Sisters and cousins and friends who owned a basketball. I mean, it was ridiculous.
There's a show now called, and I don't want to give an answer away, but there's a show called Does This Look Infected? And it's just people holding up their hand to a camera and goes, Does this look infected?
They have surgeries gone wrong. You know.
Yes. Yeah.
That could be gross. No, that's true. On like the History Channel.
It's not a show. It's not a show.
It is.
We got a Gary. By the way, Gary, Bill, and Keith are going to play here for prizes. If any of you can't answer the question, and it's a yes or no, TV show or not a TV show, you can ask us for help. Let's go to Gary first. Good morning, Gary. Let's try it one more time. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. You there?
There we are. How are you, Gary?
Doing real good, man.
All right. So John will give you a TV show, or maybe it's not a TV show. You simply have to decide if it's a real TV show. John, what is your first TV show, made up or real?
You ready?
Yes,
here we go. Gary, this show is called Pregnant in Heels. This docudrama follows Rosie Pope, a maternity concierge, to the most affluent expectant mothers in New York City.
Pregnant in Heels.
Pregnant in Heels.
So a show about a high-end pregnancy?
Yes.
Pregnant in Heels. Gary, is that a TV show or did John make
that
up?
Did I make it up? Right.
You know, if that sounds so crazy, it's got to be true. It's got to be a TV show.
That is a TV show.
For real. What lame network is running that?
Start watching it.
No, you're not, Gary.
No.
Gary, if you start, Gary, you start watching it, I'll take your prizes back.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
All right. Hold the line, Gary. You're a big winner. Let's go to Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hi.
All right, Bill. You know how to play TV show or not a TV show. Let's go back to America's Game Show host. Remember his slogan, Michael Strahan can kiss his butt. Here's John.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hi. Hey, John.
Good, good. Here we go. So here's the show. It's called Ida Hotties.
Ida Hotties.
Yes. Jill and Jen may be the best-looking sisters in the greater Boise area. Sassy, sexy, yet with unmistakable wholesomeness.
Okay, so this is hot women from Idaho?
Yes.
Ida Hotties.
I would say no.
Not a TV show?
That is true.
No.
Wow.
That was very good, Bill.
I thought that was.
There's no hot chicks in Idaho. What do you do?
All right. Whoa. Well, I wouldn't know. All right, Bill, hold the line. You're a big winner as well. By the way, winners on the show today, again, get a $25 gift card to Pequod's Pizza in Chicago and Morton Grove, dubbed the best pizza in Illinois by the Daily Meal. An app gift card pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store at Glenview or online at abt.com and a ChevyDriveChicago.com. WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee from your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Time for one more. It's Keith. John.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
How are you? I'm good.
Good. Good. You ready?
I am ready.
Okay, the name of this show is You Make Me Sick. The Crandall family of North Carolina seems to be the typical middle-class American household. However, all of them, the four Crandalls, have a rare medical condition that makes them quite literally allergic to one another.
They're allergic to each other?
Yes.
And they still live together?
And they still live together. You Make Me Sick.
Wow, that's bat-ass crazy. All right, so a TV show or not a TV show?
Boy, there's a lot of crazy allergies out there, but I've never heard of that one. I'm going to ask for help on that one.
Let's go to Andrea.
Oh, I'm thinking no.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm thinking no. So.
I'm going yes.
Are you?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going yes. I could see the pitch meeting for this where the family comes in and they're all itchy.
I can see the pitch meeting as well, but I'm going to go with the majority. I'm going to say no.
Yep, that is no.
Oh, that's a no.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I suck at this game.
Although, John, I swear you could be an idea man.
All right, Keith, hold on. Hold on, Keith. That seemed like an idea. You got a couple more?
Yeah, sure.
All right, just run them by us.
Coach Swap. This is Dirk Winslow is the kind of youth baseball coach everyone loves to hate. He screams at his players, while Benny is the nice guy, and they switch their teams.
No way. Not a show.
No way.
That's a real show.
What?
That'd be awesome. Oh,
so it's like wife swap. It's coach swap.
A little bit, yeah. Mounted in Alaska, it's not just stuffing dead animals, it's art. The series takes us behind the scenes at Knight's Taxidermy.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that's a show.
Yeah.
That is a show. That is a show.
All right, one more.
And then
we can do this all day.
This is awesome.
Paper or plastic? Jasmine Hassan is the fastest grocer checkout clerk on the East Coast and has two medals from the annual Supermarket Association of America Bag Off. She's also a single mother of two and a part-time student.
I think that's
paper
a show.
Or plastic.
Yeah, sure. Saying no.
How could you do a show about that?
I mean, based on what you've just heard, you're questioning how you can do a show.
Yeah, I know. What am I thinking?
Yes, it's a show.
Okay. No.
It's not.
No.
You know what they call that in Chicago?
Steve,
no way.
7 cents a bag.
I just made that up.
That's
great. You know what I just saw a promo for, and I've seen a few minutes of the show? It's called I Am Jazz, JAZZ. It's a 17 or 18-year-old girl who used to be a boy who's transitioning.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
Now, the sensitivity of transitioning is one thing, but I swear, and maybe the shows are different episode to episode, I know I'm not going to watch anymore, but it's the family and the child talking about how they just want to be treated normally. Here's a quick thought. Don't do it on TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like when Michael Jackson used to say, I have no private life, and he'd show up in a Sergeant Pepper uniform. Right.
Or Elvis Presley with the hubcap for a belt buckle.
Yeah, and the jumpsuit.
Everybody's looking at me, man. Everybody can't. They won't leave me alone, man.
I don't understand.
I got to hook my belt up.
All right, nice job for you. Yeah, and once again, remember John's slogan, Alec Baldwin can kiss his butt. It's 9:31. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN. Show of hands. Anybody know why I'm playing Wipeout? And by the way, if you're doing a radio show, definitely do show of hands.
Did you just fall?
You could wave to CLTV while you're showing your hands. No, John Henson's on the phone.
Cool.
One of the great TV hosts. Of course, he hosted Wipeout. Talk Soup. 60 Minutes. Remember who's on 60 Minutes? John's got a brand new show out. Haven't you had enough shows, John? Now you got another one.
Listen, I'm just grateful that you remember my brief stint on 60 Minutes where I uncovered a rest home where they abused the elderly. Not a lot of people remember that in the pantheon of my work.
It was. Remember when you hosted Pantheon? Pantheon was one of your best.
Yeah. Listen, I'm wearing a pair of Pantheons right now. I'm not going to lie to you. I get pretty freaky.
Are you still doing stand-up around the country?
I am, man. I'm touring. I'm touring whenever I get a chance. I got little kids at home. I got a 4 year old rather, and a 6 year old. So,
it's the best.
It requires more energy than I have. There's not a lot of respect for Daddy had a late set in my home. So if I get home at 2 a.m., I am still, I still have mouth breathers standing over me at 6:15 in the morning. My kids get up. I don't understand it. They think we're farmers or something. I don't get it. It's the summer. You do nothing all day long. You can't start at 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's the great injustice of the world because your kid can get up in the middle of the night, act like a complete loon, and then fall asleep at 11 in the morning like it's okay. And not only will the women of your house endorse it, they'll also talk about how cute it is. You try that, pal.
I've also really become ill at ease with the habit of my kids waking up at 3 a.m, creeping into my room in the dark and standing over me like a character in a Japanese horror movie. You wake up to that thing and you're like, oh my God, I don't know whether to tuck them back in or put a stake through his heart. You know what I mean? I'm like, I send my wife just in case he's possessed. I'm like, you go. He might steal your soul. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. My son is now 26. I remember like yesterday, my son waking up and just like staring into my son's eyes, just high enough just to be over the bed, staring at me for who knows how long, going, want to go downstairs and watch TV? Yes, I was just thinking that.
And he thinks it's so weird that you still do that, too, yeah, when you come over.
I do it to him now.
I know.
I go to his house, and I just, and I get down
Let
on my knees.
Something. 26 sounds good. I just want to get to the point where everybody wipes their own butt. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wipe 3 out of the 4 butts in my house.
Right,
so,
right.
You know. I got crap to do, literally.
It's, you know, we all have to have goals.
Yeah.
Eyewitness is the new show. All right, tell me what this is and tell me why Judge Judy's involved.
Judge Judy created the show, which I find, you know, as I like to say, you know, sure, she created this show, but when's the last time she ever did something that panned out?
Right.
I guess she's fallen on hard times, and we're trying to pass the hat for poor Judy so she can get a hot cup of coffee. But she created the show Eyewitness, which is all about the powers of observation. So we show contestants video clips from all over the world, basically anything entertaining that you might find on YouTube or online. And we quiz them about details that they may or may not have noticed. And the beauty is, it is a very simple game to understand and a very challenging game to play. It's a lot of fun.
So I like it because there was a show on before your time and my time called Concentration, where it's got a little piece of that, but you're folding in new media. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I almost, you know, sometimes I refer to it as highlights for adults, if you remember the magazine.
Sure.
The magazine you'd see in a doctor's office that, to this day, I'm convinced was actually mailed from the distributor already filled out by other children. I never saw a highlights for children that had not been ravaged by other kids. But it is, you know, it's kind of that, what did we change? We've changed one thing in this image. What is it? Sometimes it's questions about the main action in a clip. Sometimes it's a question about the details. And in the final round, the person playing for a shot at $20,000 has to watch 2 clips with audio and video side by side at the same time, and then answer questions about it.
And then you have to guess whichever one's head will explode?
Yeah, I mean, it literally, you know what I think, when I look back on, see, I'm the youngest of 5 boys. I think my mother would have done well at this because she was just sort of casting a soft glazed eye at all of us, trying to look for who was closest to, you know, arterial bleeding or losing an eye. She couldn't afford to focus on any one child, you know. You gotta take it all in that final round. And I'm not going to lie to you, I am far better at reading English off a teleprompter than I would be at competing on this show. I do not think I would have been a good contestant, but I sure love hosting it.
Judge Judy, I just looked this up while we were talking. Judge Judy is coming to the end of her current deal, which pays her a base salary of $47 million a year. Now, before you get judgmental,
well, you know, look, woman's got to eat, right?
Good thing John's passing the cup for her.
Before you get judgmental, Judge Judy brings in an estimated $170 million a year. I'm here to say she's underpaid and she needs a better agent.
Wow.
Yeah. I think you're right. And as a matter of fact, she's so underpaid that I'm underpaid. That's the way I interpret it.
That's exactly right. By the way, this show has how many episodes in a can, or how many episodes committed to it?
We shot 30 episodes. It's a Monday through Friday show. We shot 6 weeks worth, and it's testing this summer in limited markets around the country. It'll be on. It's on CW50 at 5 p.m. in the Chicago area, it'll run for 6 weeks, and depending on how it performs, God willing, we'll be back on the air next fall.
Well, I've been a fan forever, and you're always good to come on the show and talk about whatever's going on. So I'm rooting for you, man. It sounds like a cool idea.
I appreciate your time, guys. This is a lot of fun. You know, the way I look at it, game shows are like Supreme Court justice gigs. You get a good one, you keep it until you die. And with your help, I'm going to Ruth Bader Ginsburg this bad boy. You understand me?
I like what you're saying, and a Wink Martindale to you, too.
All right, man.
All right, all the best. John Henson. And again, it's called Eyewitness. Look for it on CW50 coming up in a very short order here. All right, we'll come back. We got to do our British Open picks before the tournament starts, and then Bill and Wendy are coming in on 720 WGN. It's not the British Open. It's the Open Championship to determine the top golfer of the year. Play Majors Madness presented by the 2017 BMW Championship this golf season. WGNradio.com/contest to register. Make your picks first or 10th in the British Open after the tournament. First place winner gets tickets to the BMW Championship September 12th through the 17th. And we're going to have a winner get a round of golf for four at the 18-hole Bolingbrook Golf Club, including warm-up balls, a golf cart that you can't keep, and more. Bolingbrook Golf Club brings you our Majors picks. Sandberg is here. You are ready to be the keeper of the record?
I am.
Okay. Who do you want to go first?
Dave Ennett.
Dave Ennett, you need three golfers and a winning score.
Three golfers. Here we go. Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, Matt Fitzpatrick, -7.
Why Matt Fitzpatrick?
Go Cats.
Matt Fitz. Well, because I think aside from his Northwestern connection, he spent part of his part of 1 year at Northwestern before deciding to head out and try his chances as a pro golfer over in his native UK. But I think he's ready.
Okay.
I think he's ready.
All right. Good enough for me. Andrea. Who am I to question?
Andrea.
All right, Mary. I am going with Spieth, Rory, and Justin Rose.
And the winning score?
7 under.
7 under as well? Well, you can't pick the same winning score.
All right. Let's do 5 under.
5 under. Okay.
Mary Vandeveld. Okay, let's see. Who am I going with?
Take your time, Mary. We're here till 10.
Dustin Johnson.
Okay.
Ricky Fowler, and Adam Scott.
Okay, good.
-4.
Didn't you just pick -4?
No, she picked -5.
I picked 5 under.
Okay.
Which was I? John DeCasse. I was gonna pick that.
Yes, I'm going with William McGirt.
Wait, William McGirt.
Yeah, these are the last three names on the list. Adam Hardwin and Billy Horschel.
Horschel.
All
right.
Your winning score?
4.
4 over?
Yeah, it's 4 over.
Do they have a cutoff for this, and are we penalized? Mike Jacobson?
Adam Scott, Brant Snedeker, and Tommy Fleetwood.
Ooh.
Tommy Fleetwood, who performed well at Erin Hills.
That is my... That's the end of the radar, fella. I'm going to go 9 under.
9 under.
Okay. Right. Sandberg?
Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson, 6 under.
Ooh. Good picks.
Cochran?
Paul Casey, Lee Westwood, and probably his last chance to win a major. He's 44 now. And Jordan Spieth, winning score 12 under par. 12 under.
This is good.
We have to get Steve Grzanich and my mom, who, by the way, are not together and never will be. Steve Grzanich and my mom will add those to the list off the air.
Sounds good.
Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.